and welcome to another episode of Digesting the Force. Today we are continuing our 11-episode special event where we talk about the Star Wars saga as I watch each movie for the very first time. Each episode we'll discuss that movie as a first-time watch with no knowledge of the movies released after it. We decided to watch in release order, and today we are discussing the movie that gave our beloved Han his own story with Solo. As always, I am joined by my co-host Aaron. So Aaron, how are you doing today?
I am glad to not be doing this podcast solo. I will say that much, but I'm doing well. Happy to be here as always, Christina.
Aaron and I cannot go on this journey alone, so we have invited Star Wars experts and super fans to join us throughout this special event. And today we are joined by this podcast's number one fan and 1/4 of our favorite after show, A Certain Point of View. So please welcome Brian to the show. Brian,
hello.
How are you doing today?
I am so excited. So excited.
Is this just your Friday morning? You just wake up just so happy to know that you get a
digest. You don't understand. So Star Wars has The Bad Batch coming out right now. It's the new Star Wars show. I listen to this and then I watch Bad Batch.
Oh, wow.
So,
yes, I'm not even exaggerating. It's kind of an addiction that I'm like devastated is coming to an end. So
let's not talk about the end. Every time I do, I get very verklempt to
I believe the first time I ever met you is when I divulged like the big secret of my life that I've never watched one single second. And a dagger to your heart, you were like, girlfriend, watch these.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. She seems like someone that is just going to refuse forever just to hold on to that title that I've never seen and I will never see these. And the second I heard that you broke, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And I have not been wrong or disappointed since.
Well, we can blame Peggy for that one because she was also on your show and was like, I think Christina's going to start a podcast where she watches it. And I was I'm going to start a podcast where I watch this.
Perfect.
But you know the drill. So thank you so much for coming. But before we jump into our synopsis and all that fun stuff, why do you love Star Wars?
Oh, man. Why do I love Star Wars? It just takes me to a world of its own. I was the kid that grew up that didn't have very many friends. So he had to like imagine his own world. And so like a lot of the time I just kind of like spent watching this franchise over and over and over again, playing with my hundreds of action figures and toys that I still have that my mom begs me to take from her house so she can have more room. And just, yeah, I just, it was an outlet that gave me something to do and just kind of like create my own world with my own friends and just with these characters that you love so much. And just, they're always there because you can always just put it on or you can create your own little world with the action figures. And so, yeah, ever since then, it's just a permanent place in my heart that will always be there is this franchise.
Like, I think that's what I'm going to miss the most over these answers because Aaron knows, like, I have no soul. So, like, I don't love anything as much.
Right.
Correct. But it does show like a testament that this franchise made such lovable characters. You get that from the jump from a lot of them. But before we jump into everything, this movie was released in 2018. It was directed by Ron Howard. And this synopsis from IMDb sucks. So I know Aaron, I haven't heard it. I know Aaron likes to rate the synopsis and the synopsis blows. So here you go. Board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away in an epic action adventure that will set the course of one of the Star Wars sagas most unlikely heroes.
That's it?
That's what it says.
That sounds like the like entrance before you go onto the ride at Disneyland. And I haven't even been on it.
That's what they did. That's how they did this movie.
I feel like some IMDb staff writers around this time period just were like laid off. It was like a writer's strike or something because the last couple of synopses for these movies have really been done by people who I don't think have seen the movies.
Was this like written by a bot?
What do you think this Solo movie is going to be about? It's like, I don't know, board the Millennium Falcon and set off on his adventure.
Let me tell you what this movie was about. It was about Han Solo being badass and being amazing and forging relationships that we all wanted to see. That's what this movie was about.
My heart is so happy to know that you did not hate this movie because when you gave me the list to sign up, I immediately went, that's the one I want. I knew it. Then, like, after I told you, I went, oh, crap. crap, but what if she hates this movie? I'm not going to be able to be on this if she hates this movie. And to know that you like it, I'm like, for 10 weeks, I've been worried about this. And I'm like,
ugh. Trust me, Brian, I can relate to you on so many levels about these fears of Christina hating movies you love. Just had to experience that a few weeks ago with digesting cinema in Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Felt like she hated it. So she didn't love it. Like, so, it, you know, might as well have hated it.
But of
like,
course, yeah, with Aaron, if I don't love it, I hate it. There's
exactly. Of course.
I mean, it's, you know, we're in Star Wars fandom right now. So, like, especially around this time. So that makes
you sense. You are in this part, you are in the very much Star Wars world of you either love it or you hate it. This idea came from the previous movie, The Last Jedi, where people were attacking it so hard that it put a divide in Star Wars. The biggest divide probably since, I don't even know, but it's literally put the mentality in people of you either like this movie or you absolutely despise and trash it. And that has plagued Star Wars since The Last Jedi. And yeah, this was a casualty of it.
And just a little backstory for me with this film. This is the first one where both Christina and I have never seen the movie. I was one of those people who left Last Jedi, hated it, decided, nope, Solo is not for me. There's no way I'm seeing it. Oh, they changed directors too. They got rid of the creative director and they brought in the old white chill director. Like, I was just like, I know how this movie is going to go because YouTube channel A, B, and C has already told me all this back information and I've seen enough. I don't need to see this movie, even though I love Donald Glover. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll see it for that. But the rest of it, no. Like, so I thought I had seen the movie before I did. This week was quite the surprise for me too, to see this movie. And now I don't question your judgment. For like 9-10 weeks, I was like, he could pick any Star Wars movie. He picked Solo? Like, they just picked that because he was like, I'm going to make sure like someone brings up this movie that like no one really cares about. Brian's falling on the sword. So at the end, we don't have to be like, well, we need someone to take Solo. But like, I get it. This would be one of my first ones I would sign up. This is in my top 4 or 5 Star Wars movies. I'm not.
When all of these movies came out, obviously social media was, you know, what it is today. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I wouldn't pay attention when the trailers would come on TV. I kind of was getting a little bit of, you know, stuff going on in social media, but I never really paid attention to it. So I never knew really that this was a prequel until very recently, because I remember once like the newer movies were coming out, I knew Han died at some point. I thought this is when he would die. I thought they were going to give him a Solo movie and kill him. I thought this was. So when he died in Force Awakens, I was like, oh, well then what the fuck is Solo about? And then I looked it up that it's a prequel. But then I got into like, people were very upset that it wasn't Harrison Ford, just de-aged with, we have that technology, which like this movie would have been horrendous if you just de-aged him because he's still old. Like he can't move as quickly.
Oh yeah, no.
You know, it wouldn't have made any sense. So I know there was backlash with that, which I will admit when the movie first opens up, I'm like, okay, I was okay with it in the original prequels, but I guess because you only had one movie with Alec Guinness and you never really see Darth Vader's face. So you don't care that it's a different Anakin and a different Obi-Wan. Hmm. So it's like, all right, I have to accept this because it's not Harrison Ford. It's this relatively unknown guy, really, because what else is he in?
He was in Hail Caesar and people flipped, including myself, when he got cast because we were like, he can't play this character. Like, he's a nobody. He didn't have a great reputation as an actor. He honestly had a reputation that he sucked as an actor coming into it.
You open up this brand new movie with this unknown guy who's playing Solo, which I don't know if it would have been better received if it was someone we knew. I feel like I think what I like about Star Wars movies is it's not a lot of people that you know, it's people that you come to like know and love. But like, you know, by the end of the movie I was sold, where I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. Is like, I don't know, when did I text you guys that I was starting the movie? And then 8 minutes later I literally, ladies and gentlemen, texted Brian and Aaron and I said, who the fuck is this bitch that Han is kissing? And I said it out loud, and I watch all these movies with my husband and he looks at me and goes, well, it's in the past, he didn't meet Princess Leia yet. And I looked at my husband, who we will be married for 4 years, I said, you didn't know anybody before me. You didn't have an ex-girlfriend before me. I am your first, your last, your one, and your only. Who is this bitch? Like, no, okay? I am a Han and Leia stan. No. I don't like her. I don't know what her deal is. Don't try to tell me like, oh, he had a past. Don't try to tell me you had a past. Don't try to tell me I had a past. There is no past, bruh. There's only one true pair.
That was one of my biggest fears, is that you would immediately hate her. Because I knew how, from listening, I was like, oh, crap. She loves the relationship between Princess Leia and Han, she's going to immediately hate Kira. And then, yeah, I get the text. I went, crap. Here it is. But so you, okay, to the end, did you not like her?
We'll get to how I
okay, feel. Okay, 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 okay.
But right now, I still hate her.
Yeah. Okay.
She sucks.
I didn't have that issue at the beginning at all with.
That's because you're a normal person that understands that this was the cast.
Well, no, a lot of people, not with, I'm not talking about with Kira. I'm just talking about with regards to Han Solo and how he was portrayed by whoever played him. Jesus, who is it?
Harrison Ford? Call him Alden.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I was like,
very German name. Say-
I didn't have the same issue as you did, Christina, with when they first showed Han Solo on screen, which I think a lot of people probably did in the theaters and like leading up to it with this unknown actor who didn't have the best reputation playing him. But I liked right away that he wasn't trying to do an direct impersonation of Han Solo. I think that would have been extremely distracting and just kind of hokey. Like instead, like I felt like really embodied the spirit of the character, and it was just transported back to a younger time period and a whole different planet. It looked totally different. I really actually appreciated how similar it was yet different. And I thought it was like really actually well done by him. So shout out to Alden.
Very much kept the same mannerisms and snarkiness. And that's really all you need to embody Han Solo. Like, that is his traits. That is what he's known for, is just that snarky quip humor and just kind of his subtle mannerisms that he does. And he nailed it. Honestly, like, it's funny because this cast is a huge cast.
Yeah.
And he's the main character and he's the nobody.
They're all delivering too. Mm-hmm. The side cast is all also showing up. So it's not like they didn't show up and it was a chance for this nobody to shine. He was shining amongst stars doing their things. Woody Harrelson, Donald Glover, who is like the, you know, bright beam from this movie for a lot of people who don't even like it. They'll still be like, Donald Glover's part is great, which I agree with. But I think Alden actually has the more impressive performance because he's not just doing an impersonation. He's kind of reimagining the character to add some depth in a different way than just fully explaining like everything, which I know it's like the basis of the story is how he got the Millennium Falcon. But I think for one, the basis of the story was way more interesting than the basis of Rogue One, which was how did they get a blueprint for a glitch in the Death Star, like a crawl, basically. This was not a crawl. This movie was not a crawl.
Right. Speaking of crawl, you got a mini crawl.
Thank God. Because I was offended with Rogue One. I was still a little offended because I like when like the score starts. It just gets you hype. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I need to just like be in the zone to watch my movies. Like I will probably cry when I watch Rise of Skywalker, like just the beginning of it. Because it'll be the last time I see it, like a brand new crawl. So, oh my God, I'm such a dork. I can't believe this.
Join us.
This is your fault. You know what? When Jillian said I could come on happy hour when I'm done all of my Star Wars, so you better be on there too with me having our Star Wars cocktail so we can talk about my full experience.
I'm so excited.
I know.
So excited. This has easily been my favorite things. And I'm not a podcast person. And I've listened meticulously to every single one multiple times. Even Zach Burkett has told me, like, you need to stop. Like, so, especially for his. He hates his.
That's so much fun.
I love Zach. Zach, if you're listening, we love you.
This is going to be competing with that one for most positive Star Wars reviews so far. This has Return of the Jedi vibes to it so far, at least.
Let's jump back into the movie. So, after he's done making out with this whore he's with... You know, they get themselves in a little trouble. I love the snarkiness of like, he's like, and she's like, that's a rock. You just made that noise in your mouth. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. He's like, I have a plan. Like, I'm going to blow this place up. And then they get separated when they're at the terminal. And then I was like, oh my God, he joined the like Imperial Navy.
Right.
But I mean, out of desperation, he needed to get out of there. And that also gave us a really cool scene of how he got his name.
That is one of the most divisive and probably hated things by fans is how he got his last name. People hate that he got it from just this guy that it didn't mean anything. Just a guy that called him Solo.
Yeah, he showed up.
I personally don't care It's not a big enough thing, but I have many of friends that I'm pretty sure Jake hates it, despises it, and our friends do. I'm okay with it just because I'm like, that's funny. But like,
well, here, yeah, and I thought it was fine too. I can get why people could maybe be upset, or it's just like, you don't need to explain that. It's just a last name. But you know, if you go back long enough in the history of my last name, if you go back far enough with Brooks, you probably just found like a bunch of people by a river, like a babbling brook, and it's like, oh, that's your last name. It's probably not that exciting how you got your last name either, nerd who's upset about this. That's my whole point. Last names aren't that cool. Like, they come like this.
I thought it was a little corny, and I kept thinking like, oh, because he's alone, because he's solo, and all I kept thinking is Jason Derulo riding solo. Like,
oh god,
I was like, riding solo, and then Anthony's like, can you stop? Like, we're gonna watch the movie, and I'm like, but that's what it's bringing me to. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, really, yeah, last names were basically where you're from. You were Aaron of wherever you came from, and then that was your last name. I mean, it actually made sense as to how you're alone, so your last name is Solo. Yeah, I mean, it was a cool tidbit. I just thought it was like a little corny, because then it was like, at the end of the day, he got his last name from the bad guys, and I never knew he was like with them. Like, was that ever mentioned that he was part of the Empire?
That's a known thing, because he used it as a means to become a pilot. Like, that was his goal, was to join it, to become a pilot, eventually have his own ship, that whole shebang. He doesn't let anything tie him down, as we saw, and they kicked his, you know what, to the side for having a mind of his own, as he says in the movie.
Yeah, so he joins this war, and then he meets Beckett, who is not really in the army, but is in the middle of his major battleground. And they're just like, yeah, we're just follow our orders. And I'm just like, I get that they were thieves, but I mean, that is commitment. You guys are literally risking your life in a battleground of war to like steal whatever it is that you need to steal. I just seem like that's just dedication I just don't have.
Yeah, they needed that hauler that they stole. And I guess that was the only means of getting a hold of one. But yeah. I mean, not to mention the Ardinian has to pretend to be a human with his forearms underneath his stuff. It was stuff.
So funny. He died too early. I liked him.
You know that's Jon Favreau's voice, right?
Yeah. I did look that up.
You can kind of, you're like, that's definitely a voice I know.
Yes.
Type thing. But yeah, no, his little ragtag team of three, and then they pull one over on Han and they're like, oh yeah? Well, he's trying to be his own mind. Get rid of him. And then he's like, tricked you. But Han Solo
Then they turn, Woody Harrelson turns him in. Mm-hmm. And they throw Han down into the cage. And that's where we see Chewie. And we get to see how they meet. And I was literally like, Chewie! Like when he growled. I was so cute.
When you first watched Star Wars and went, I hate Chewie, I went, oh crap, I hate the worst movie to be on with her, because he's literally the second lead of this movie, and I'm screwed. And then you started to come around. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Now she'll actually maybe enjoy it a little bit.
I didn't like him. He's just not good at mechanical engineering, and I stand by that.
I mean, you're not wrong. He is constantly fixing this.
Well, I mean, when you first see, which we're obviously not there yet, but I'll skip ahead a little bit. When you first see the Millennium Falcon, it is in pristine condition.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
And Han just fucks it up. Like, yeah. So you know what? Maybe it's not Chewie's fault. Maybe Han is just so reckless that Chewie literally can't keep up with it.
Yeah, he's got a lot of shit to fix, you guys. I mean, he's a dog, like, or a Wookiee, but like, it's a boy and a dog. And it's like the beginning of the boy and the dog story. Are you kidding me? I could watch an entire movie of just them like going on. Like to the park together or whatever they do together when they're not stealing shit and killing people. You know, I just thought they did a great job of de-aging Chewie, as weird as that sounds. He looks so new and clean here while not looking like a totally.
They bought a fresh fur suit for him to wear. They de-aged him.
It's a different actor. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a whole new, I would imagine a whole new suit. The character's like supposed to be 100 years younger, for God's sake. So I would hope.
He looks it.
Did you notice right away when they threw him into the thing when they said, the beast? Did you know right away?
I did not know.
I
was curious to know if you guys were like,
like, As obvious as Star Wars is, there have been a few times they've gotten one over on me, and this is
yes.
But so there's so many other things though. I've like that's who that is. I know who that is. Yeah. I know what's about to happen here. But there was a few times I didn't expect it to be Chewie, but I was excited. And they break out. We get to see their hijinks together, and then we go to meet up with whoever Paul Bettany's character is. Who's I can't. This is why I can't.
Dryden Voss.
Thank you. I can never compete in Star Wars trivia because I literally can't remember anybody's name unless I look at the IMDb.
Before that. Shocking that Tandy Newton's character died that quickly.
Yes.
Are you surprised?
Yeah. Dude,
shocked me when I saw that live. I was like, she didn't even last 20 minutes. This is a actress. Mm-hmm. And they killed her fast.
Yeah, so, no, I love
it. I swear people just call Disney and say, I love Star Wars. I can't commit. Can you just give me a small role? And if she has, I'm adding her to the list. She's right up there with Forrest Whitaker.
She was coming off of Westworld season one, you know, but HBO. They clearly liked HBO over there between Emilia Clarke and Thandi Newton. Oh, so,
fine with me. But she was so good in the little bit that she was. Like when she died, I was like, no, I like her.
It didn't seem like she needed to. They were like right there.
Yeah.
But
anyways, yeah. And then Dryden Voss shows up. So
yeah. Okay. So
uh-oh.
I have an issue with Paul Bettany being in this movie.
Okay.
And I think I don't like it when actors are a part of multiple major franchises. Like there was literally nobody else to play this role. Like nobody else could have done it that wasn't involved in another major franchise.
Someone else was supposed to play this role. And I forget the reasoning why. And they grabbed Paul Bettany to do it. Okay. So, yeah.
I forget. That's just my own pet peeve of just like, you don't need to be in the MCU and Star Wars, or you don't need to be in like, I just don't feel like you need to be in more than one major franchise. Like there isn't anybody else that can be in this franchise. Samuel L. Jackson doesn't count because he's in literally everything, but
that's true.
I guess Paul Rudd though is in a lot of shit too.
So Michael K. Williams was supposed to be Dryden Voss before they changed the role. If you really look up this movie,
what could have been,
had so many changes that happened to this entire thing.
It was nice in this Star Wars movie that there were different looking people. Like in all seriousness, there was like different types of people, different looking people. It was nice to see that and not done in a way where it was like, it felt kind of pandering or being done in an insincere way, but in a way where it's like, this is just kind of like a world where like a lot of kind of the rapscallions all kind of joined together and are working together and like stealing from each other. And like, they were just trying to like, and I think that's why the movie has the look it does. Some people have said it's muddy. I actually think it looks really cool. The cinematography was one of my favorite parts of this movie, but I know some people have called it muddy or whatever, but I think it's kind of like a muddy world, and it's like kind of a dirty world. So it needs that grungy, dirty, like not fully formed, because it's like everybody's just trying to survive and make
it. And that's what Han Solo is. Pretty pristine Luke Skywalker shiny like object.
There's no Jedi talk. Like I loved it. This is like they're talking about, let's steal this energy stuff and sell it to these people and then steal more. And it's like one last heist thing. Like things that
they don't even like care about the Empire as much. Like if the Empire tries to stop us, whatever. Like we're
like,
just doing
why would they?
Yeah.
Why would they
showed up twice throughout this whole movie?
Right.
To give him his name and during the Kessel Run. That's it. No Empire seen anywhere else.
And it's like the Empire really just did the job of like, why can this guy fly so well? And it's like, there we go. We got the story. 3 years of flight school and he dropped out Maverick style. Like, you know, it's just like, that's all we need. We didn't need to see him like be a punk at flight school and make this movie 2.5 hours or something. Like, good choice by Ron Howard, who's like a super legit director also. And it's like, I do think he did a good job with this movie of making it this like space Western heist movie. That's what it was.
Absolutely. And they have flushed out stories post this movie coming out. So like there is a comic run telling of him at the Imperial Academy. So like there are things you can look up and read if you want more to this franchise or this specific movie.
Yeah, I just don't even know if it's necessary. Like we got the gist. Like it was 3 years later. You know what I mean? But like to Aaron's point, like good call from them, because I feel like some people would put all of that in there and it's just like, we understand. We know that he eventually learns how to fly. So like we already know that it happened. But this is also where we see Kira again.
Mm.
And I was okay with it because I was like, all right, you know, she's been with this dude. Maybe she's turning a little bad, but you know, she's all cleaned up now. So maybe she's got something up her sleeve. I don't really know. I think the two of them had great chemistry together when they were like moving out. And we're not there yet in the Falcon, but we'll just say it again. I was all about it. I was like, yeah, just in the capes, baby. Like, we need more capes. There needs to be more capes in the world. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked their little play. I appreciate how Han just like tries to like be quippy. Woody Harrelson was the perfect casting of this because I swear that's
really his character. Was.
I think that's his personality. Is he's just
I completely agree with you.
It felt so improv. Like at those points, it was just like, yo, Woody is not even reading a script right now. He's just like, be this wild man who's going to disappear after this movie. You're not showing up again, bro. Like, live it up now.
But like, I believe this is how Woody Harrelson like would negotiate in real life.
100%.
And then like his child would like yell out ridiculous shit. It's like, sit down, son. Like, let the adults handle it.
He's 100% just being like who he would be if he lived in this world. That's literally it.
Yeah.
He's not even playing the character of Tobias Beckett. It's just Woody Harrelson in Star Wars. That's literally what it is.
So good. So once Paul Bettany's character, Dryden Voss, says, okay, Kira, you need to go with them because we need a ship, because now they couldn't get the
coaxium.
The coaxium. This is why the experts are here. Why can't I remember any words? I literally I watched this movie twice. I watched it last night and I watched it again today. And I can't remember any of the words. I know this is the only movie, Brian, I've watched twice. For the
Ironic. You watched Solo twice.
I watched Solo twice. So the original mission to get the coaxium doesn't work. And they come up with this other plan to get the unrefined coaxium. And then
what did you think of Infest Nest when they showed up? Sorry to cut you off. The people that came and ruined their plan, like that masked person. Oh,
I just was like, who the F are these people? Like, what is happening? Like, that's what is your deal? I didn't get it until the end, obviously. But at the first happened, I was like, what is happening right now? Like, who are these people? What is the deal? And then I was just like, and now they just ruined everything. But I don't even think Han at the time knew what was happening, because I think like, even Beckett had to be like, we weren't just stealing this so like you and I could like get rich, which I'm pretty sure Han was just like cool with. Like, Han, why is he just like down to just break the law with randos? Like, he doesn't even know what he's doing. Just like,
it's the life he lived. It's like, he's a
but like, you made fun of Jake Lloyd being Anakin, being like, I can do that. I can do that. Look how cool I can fly. And Han, I feel like, is the same way. Like, oh, you want to go commit this crime? Okay, buddy. Like,
but he doesn't. He doesn't just get into a ship and like put it into slight drive, then hit some buttons and happen to shoot three droids. It's like, oh my God, this is the chosen one.
All I'm saying is that Han is just like very agreeable to just do just anything. And he just
You're not wrong. He does just kind of do things. He
jumps in without looking. We all have those friends who jump off the roof in college. He's that guy with a giant ship stealing coaxium.
But it is determined that they have a new plan now. So Beckett and Han have a plan. They just need a ship. And Kira's like, I know where you can get one. Intro, the greatest character in this movie. Donald Glover could not have done a better job as Lando. Actually, you know what? I might take it back as greatest character, because we also meet L3.
Yes, I knew you were going to love
L3 stands on this podcast.
I never knew I needed a sassy woman droid.
Yep.
Is she my personality? Did they just channel who I am and put her into L3? I don't know. Maybe. Did I meet Ron Howard before this movie?
When I heard you like the droids, I immediately was like, she's going to love L3. She may hate this movie, but she's going to love L3.
And I love how much people I anticipate hate L3, because that's the point of L3. If she upsets you with what she's saying, I'm sorry, your fragile little Star Wars universe can't use a little Christina and droid version, because we all agree that it is much needed. I loved L3.
I didn't know I needed a sassy lady droid in my life, and I did, and it was spot on. It was perfect. She was everything you could have ever hoped for in a sassy girl droid.
Yeah. So her and Lando belong together. It's one of the best.
Perfect hair.
Mm-hmm. Seems like they also did some freaky stuff.
Okay. I accept that. So Lando.
Can we talk about
I forget if it was Donald Glover or Billy Dee Williams said, Lando does not see gender, species, whatever. He gets down with anything. And so.
Whatever you need to do, Lando.
There's that part that she says, I'm gonna need you to do that thing again later. And he just kind of rolls his eyes. So I don't know.
At the end, when she's in his arms, like, that is not an embrace that you make unless you've taken that relationship to the heights.
I mean, Kira does ask her.
Kira does ask her, and she's like, it's possible.
It I'm works. Like, trust
oh, okay, girl. Okay. Can we make that like a sidebar? If there's extra footage of Han in a like training.
Rando's
camp.
Getting his own spinoff series.
I'll be watching it. Yeah. We will be digesting that as well. Yeah,
just to see if there's any droid sex. That's all I'm here for. I don't actually care about Lando's story. So we know from previous movies that Han Solo gets the Millennium Falcon by winning a game of cards, and then we see them playing cards. I'm like, this is it. I'm like, I know it's gonna happen. I already saw this part. And of course, because you know, people that know how to make movies know how to make movies, Han didn't win this card game. No. But we also find out that Lando cheats. Yep. So, and we also kind of know that Han knew that he cheated. But anyway, Lando decides he's going to go on this like epic mission with them. But can we talk about seeing the Millennium Falcon for the first time? Like when you see, like, oh my God, like
in the music, you get just that little hint of the classic Falcon music. And you're just like, oh, this is the best.
But like they like every detail, like the inside is bright and shiny and the lights are bright and everything is working perfectly. And it's just like you can tell that this is a newer ship and it's well taken care of compared to what we see even in A New Hope.
So Lando like, literally said he just put in a wet bar.
Right. Yeah.
And a room for his capes.
I did like, though, that Han mentioned that his father used to build these. So he was familiar with the ship because his father had worked on them. So I thought that was a nice touch because it obviously explained like why he would know how to fly it and stuff immediately. Not that I'm a pilot, but I would imagine different planes look a little bit different. So you'd have to get your bearings first before you just start flying one.
I mean, the name of the ship, the model comes from the planet Corellian. It's a Corellian ship. So that is why he would know. It's his planet. His dad worked on it. It was made at his home world. So yeah.
That's like backstory stuff that adds to the story and like justifies moving on with how he is so quickly. Unlike Jake Lloyd.
Well, it was also a nice thing where he talked about like Han doesn't really have a relationship with his parents. Lando seemed like he was close to his mom. It just gives you an extra layer of dynamics where you kind of explain, you know, why they are the way they are.
And it's never in a layer where it's like he's the chosen one. He's more special than anybody else. He's special because of circumstances and experiences in life, which is how anybody becomes who they are. Like, unlike, it's just like, oh, it was in the cards that his ice like.
Well, I mean, it was in the cards, actually.
It was.
He's just one of the most relatable characters. He's just a guy. That's literally Han Solo.
He's just a guy that is cool.
Impulsive. I get the impulsive thing a lot. Like jumping into things without being ready. Sorry.
So we see Kira admiring the room of capes, which like, again, I think this is something we all need to invest in is a room of capes. Like, I don't know why we don't wear them more. It needs to be a thing that we do. When that tension with them, man, I was in. I was like, all right, I forgive you. You can date her. I like her. They were like all into each other. Beckett, like, am I interrupting? And he was like, yeah, like kind of which I was like, Han would say that. More people would be like, oh no, it's fine. He'd be like, yeah, bro. Like, did you use your eyeballs? Do you see we're making out? Yeah, you're interrupting.
If you're asking, you already know.
Yeah, you already know, dude.
Like, dude.
100%.
Everybody who's ever asked already knows. Like, everybody.
I think that's just another bit for me. I took it as it's Beckett still not trusting her. He's just kind of like, am I interrupting? Seeing, like, if she's up to something. Because flat out, from the second they get on that ship in the beginning, he says, don't talk to anyone. He doesn't trust anyone. The chemistry between these two is just so perfect. Like, Gree, I was the same with you. When I was like, I mean, obviously Han's like this ladies man, sweet talk guy. So you would assume there was someone, at least a few before Han Solo's. But when I first see it, it's like, it's not Princess Leia. But then she really makes you love her and her relationship with Han. So it's like, okay, kind of take this.
Yeah, this is Emilia Clarke's best movie by far. She's not known for her movie rules, so it's not saying much, but she's killing
Didn't enjoy Last Christmas. That wasn't
Not my favorite Christmas movie. I'll just say that. But no, I thought she was so great in her role, and I've never even heard their chemistry mentioned by people, especially among Star Wars, which trips over its own ass on chemistry over and over again. Yeah, that's bravo on making an actual believable romance here. I just think this movie, I think, might be the most universal Star Wars movie you could show people. Like, I could watch 100%. This with my mom, like, and she would be fine with it. And if it wasn't called Solo, if they just manipulated it a little bit, they could make this just it had been its yeah. own space romp. But we right. are in show business. So it's like adding Star Wars adds what they thought was a one in front of the box office. But I don't think it even got to 100 million its opening weekend. But that's my whole like obsession with budgets and box office.
Well, it was like when Winter Soldier came out. It was a superhero movie, but that wasn't really a superhero movie. It exactly. was more of like a spy.
There's zero mention of the Force in this movie.
Yeah, this yeah. didn't None. Have to be a Star Wars movie at all. Like, in all mm-hmm. honesty, it was done for business reasons, which I think is some people's criticism of it. But it's like, okay, like, let's accept that. I then took like kind of the winks and nods at, don't take this too serious, but like at the same point, we're going to show kind of a dark story type of deal.
100%.
All right. So then we get to the planet where they have Chewie and Han in shackles.
They take the Kessel Run to get there, but yeah.
I thought the Kessel Run was on the way back.
I don't get the Kessel Run. Can we just deal with all Kessel Run stuff right now? Because I don't really understand why this is a big deal, and I still don't care.
Because you can't do it in under 20 parsecs, and if you remember yeah. from The Force Awakens, rumor has it that he did it in 12, but other
right.
people...
But basically, let me see if I have this right. First of all, nerd out stats from Christina, so bravo. Secondly, basically what Han has been bragging about this whole time is like that he found a shortcut.
That he did something that is supposed to be impossible. Is
by way of like a shortcut, though, basically.
Oh, yeah. He 100% basically cheated. But it's Han Solo, and that's how he's going to make himself seem like the coolest person in the room. Hey, that's amazing. I did something that's impossible.
That's amazing that his like legacy is based on a cheat. That's I
basically,
love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Does that shock you at all?
No.
No, but it shocks me they would like commit to that. I mean, it's very in line with this character. It's very believable, but I'm shocked Disney would go that route of like, your legacy is based on a cheat. That's amazing. Because I thought I was missing something with that by what I was understanding.
When they get to this planet and they make it seem like Chewie and Han are their prisoners, this is where we get Chewie being a badass and rescuing the other Wookiees. Mm-hmm. L3 is like starting a revolution and has now found her calling.
The funniest part is her just
like, this is what I was meant to do.
Yeah, just her just becoming this freedom fighter of droids. And she's just like, when she takes the restraining bolt off, you're free, scoot. Like, she's just like, go save your brothers and sisters. And then she realizes,
like, use some willpower. Like, you're free.
It's the best. She just starts this droid revolution on this planet. I'll also throw in, it's not something you guys would know, but the alien species that's there, the Pikes, that was the first time we've seen them on screen. And they're kind of a big deal. Like, they're mentioned in a lot of things. So for us to actually see the Pikes, that was kind of like, whoa. And we're doing the Kessel Run? Like, this is a lot. And spice, which we know is a huge drug, can be used for good and bad, but it was a lot of stuff that they combined into this little part. But yes, L3 steals this whole entire thing.
Amazing.
Wild. So Han gets all the caxium. Am I saying the right?
Coaxium.
Coaxium out. Battles happening. I mean, I just love Lando being like, L3, like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, yeah. You know, like, everybody's running out. It's chaos. Everybody's shooting. And then L3 gets shot. And I was like, no, no.
Yeah.
I didn't have audio of me reacting to her death like I do of Han dying. Anthony did record that. Brian, I'll let you listen to it later. Oh, did I send it to you? Did I? I
did not. Han dying? Yes.
I did send it to you.
Yeah, that was so great.
I just saved it and it is still on my phone.
It's precious.
But I was like so sad. But then I was like, okay, like technically she's a robot. You just kind of need to like fix her and like, you know, you can just build another robot. Not to
mention she's like, fix me. Like say it basically. And you're like,
yeah. Like, the fact that she was aware of it and like that Lando goes over to get her and tries to pick her up because he's so desperate to save her and he can only get the top part of her body. And it's just like, okay, like in his brain, he knows it is a machine. Like I can get more parts. I can rebuild her as long as I can save like the core part that makes her her. And they finally get everybody on the ship. And I mean, literally, she dies in his arms, like fully aware that she's dying. And it's just, how do you not? And like, your brain is like, okay, this is a robot. This is a machine. Yeah. But like, it's
Star Wars is amazing at making you feel for these inanimate objects. You're like, why am I crying for a droid.
Yeah.
Like, there's like the people you end up caring about the most is these droids.
People you end up caring about the most are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's funny because the whole entire time is she's fighting to be treated as a normal person. When we first meet her, she goes, they don't even serve our kind here. And then, I mean, the whole, when Lando's like, do you need anything? When they're on the Falcon, yeah, equal rights. She just wants to be treated like everybody else. And then when she dies like everyone else. And you feel bad. You're upset.
This is a callback to some of the greatest sci-fi kind of stories of all time. I mean, this is straight out of Blade Runner, the self-actualized artificial intelligence that once it gains that awareness that it's aware it can die and everything, how sad that gets. And I mean, it's being done here in Star Wars where it's like those things have kind of been brushed on before. It was much more explored here, but not in a way where it kind of hampered down the story or was a downer, but it just in a way that it increased the character of L3. And I think it's quite reflective on people who think she was just supposed to be like a comedic relief. I mean, she had quite a bit of heart to what she was saying, and you could apply to humanity. In all seriousness. So I think that bravo on them for including that type of droid. I am all for more outspoken droids and different kind of droids with different desires. And I just think L3, it deserves to be right up there with R2, with C-3PO, with K2SO. Like, these droids are some of the greatest characters, humans, in Star Wars. I mean, humans. Yeah. They're human.
I agree. I agree with you. So this is when we get to basically the Empire fight, right? Leaving?
Yeah, the Empire shows up while they're trying to leave the Kessel Run. Because they have the coaxium that they need to get off because it's going to explode because it's unrefined.
Right. So that was cool having that come in and just like seeing Han fly around for the first time. But then you see him like totally mess up the ship, you know, puts down the landing gears, that gets ripped off. And I'm like, oh my God.
The satellite again, always breaking off.
The cannon. And how many cannons do you think they've had on this Falcon? Because those things are always getting.
Between cannons and satellite dishes, figure out something that's not going to.
Yet you called Chewie shitty. Like, come on. Like, he is literally full-time, like, making new guns, putting them on, getting them knocked, like, the satellite again.
Okay, I will officially retract my statement from episode 2 that Chewie is not good at mechanical engineering. I will say that this blame fully falls on Han's negligence and recklessness to make Chewie's job harder.
Amen. That's fair. Amen. That's fair. DM that to Jake right now.
Yeah.
So he can get, and I will say one thing. I think it's really important to note is that when L3 does die, she gets uploaded into the Falcon. So anytime that Han, what you see mostly is the original trilogy, he is referring to the Falcon as a her, as a thing that thinks and has its own brain. And now we know, because it kind of is.
Lando gets to fly the Millennium Falcon in Return of the Jedi. So it's like reuniting with his love.
Yeah. So it's not a droid in the sense that it doesn't do anything, but it's kind of its own living, breathing entity. And that's kind of how you Star Wars fans look at the Falcon. It is its own thing. Like, people would be devastated if that ship was to like blow up or just crash. You're like, oh no, the Falcon. Like, so, and now we know that anytime Han is saying like, yeah, she needs this part repaired, he's kind of referring it to L3 because she's now a part of the ship, as they said, which makes you love it that much more.
I know. It's like, that was beautiful. It's like a beautiful movie. I wish this was the end, but there's still more movie to talk about. Can we get into the casting of the woman who was also in Falcon and Winter Soldier? And I don't know her name, and I'll look it up. Who keeps casting this woman who has a distinct voice? Her name is Erin Kellerman, and she's Emphas Nest.
Oh,
who is casting this woman with the most distinguishable hair I've ever seen to just wear a mask
and freckles?
Right. So, gorgeous. She's beautiful and she's an excellent actress, but it has now been two things that I've seen her in that she just wears a mask. But it's like, lady, I know it's you. You have huge red curly hair.
Did you know the whole time that was going to be her?
No, I did not know the whole time. Okay, so maybe I fell for it in the mask, but
okay.
But I'm like,
That's what I was wondering. is if you knew, like, that's going to be that person.
No, but, like, that was okay. My big issue with Falcon and Winter Soldier, that I was like, she's excellent in it, but I'm like, seriously, if you're going to wear a mask, you might want to have just straight brown hair. So people don't know it's you. Just saying, everyone knows it's you. As soon as you turn around and we see your hair, everyone knows it's you. But no, yeah. She's excellent. I was, like, pretty down to see her in this, because she just has this, like,
presence
about her and presence that it's just the way she just delivers her line. Every revolution this chick starts, I want to be a part of it. She's just
so young. She's so young leading.
And she's leading people that were tortured, right? They said they got their tongues ripped out or cut out. And, you know, these people just don't have any way to, like, really communicate and fight for themselves. So she does it on their behalf. And then we go back to our boy, Paul Bettany. And then we do the old switcheroo. And they all play each other and who's backstabbing who and all of this fun stuff. I'm going to say I didn't see any of that coming.
I didn't either when this. Well, I fully will be the first to be like, when this happened, I went, oh. I was like, oh, this is right,
especially
sneaky.
Because Beckett and Hahn had their goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and he says throughout the movie, don't trust anyone. And little do you know, he is the one that you are basically being warned about.
Right.
And you're just like, oh.
Yeah, because it was like crazy double crossing. So, like, the plan was they were going to give the Nest people the coaxium, but then they were going to tell Paul Bettany that they were giving it to him. But then really they were giving it to Paul Bettany. But then we thought Beckett wasn't there. And then Beckett came and sold it. I was like, Anthony, Paul, what is happening here? Hold on. I was like, we need to rewind and rewatch this. Cause I was like, there's so much double crossing happening. What is going on here?
Yeah.
Then we have the epic fight, which was wild. I love that. I mean, even just seeing Han run and, like, slide and get the blaster.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
And, like, the negotiating way across the room, like, it's just like an old 90s action movie. It's just like, all right, I think it's time for us to make a deal. Like, yeah. It's just like.
And Emilia Clarke's fight with Dryden Voss is amazing. When she does that slide and, like, holds the knife and he catches his blade, like, the dramatic pose she makes, I can have that as a poster.
Iconic.
It's just like, that's iconic. Amazing.
She had all that training from Terminator and Game of Thrones, and she's like, shit, I'm gonna put this to use. And, like, it's just like Paul Bettany was not taking it easy on her. He was trying as hard as he could. This whole last scene, I was just like, what is happening? The whole time.
It was so wild. The whole last part. Because you're just like, who has the coaxium? Who just left? Because Beckett takes Chewie. So now you're like, okay, you have Chewie. You have this. So what's going on? It was just so much happening. She's being badass. And then Aaron's favorite character returns. So I'll let you take it, honey. How did you feel in that moment? Because I liked this woman. I hated her. I liked her. And fuck her. I was right about her from the beginning. This bitch.
When she was like, don't worry, I'll be right behind you. I was like, And then she closed the set. You know, some shady shit's happening when someone closes the blinds. And the second she closes those blinds, you're like, what is going on here?
Right.
I want to know what you thought when this happened.
Well, she refers to him as just Maul. So I was like, and I looked at Anthony and I said, as in Darth? As in Darth Maul? Like, what? And then, like, you see it and finally takes the hood off. And I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
So, like, here's my official plea. Can we get a TV series? Can we get a second movie? Because if you're telling me I can get more Darth Maul, who should not have been killed in Phantom Menace,
absolutely not.
I am in. Sign me up. Whatever entity I can get him in. I mean, he even has the double lightsaber just to, like, give that extra flex, which that was probably fan service, but whatever.
That's great fan service.
I think, honestly, it was for the people that didn't know who he was at this point, and they're like, oh, it's the guy with the double red lightsaber.
It's like, is there another Maul? I think that was a great decision. Bringing Darth Maul back is when I already knew this movie was made for fans like me, I guess, if you could put it that way. But once that was, I was like, this is maybe my favorite Star Wars moment since, like, the original trilogy. I don't know. Happy to see him back.
I don't really know where this would work in the timeline, though, because, like, Anakin's, like, 10. So that means Luke isn't even alive yet. So how much older is Han compared to Luke?
So Maul's story is fleshed out through the Clone Wars animated and Rebels animated. So if you, like, really want to take the time to go through all of that, I highly suggest Rebels. Rebels is amazing. Clone Wars is a little bit tedious, but Maul's whole story gets fleshed out through that, except for this part. So like, if we were to ever get more sequels, it would be, how did he become the leader of a gang?
Which like, is sign me up for it. Just give me the Maul series. Right.
Yeah.
Like, please, but like, it just still doesn't, I don't think the timeline makes sense, but that's fine. I can withhold. It's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, so but she sucks. I knew she sucked. I am mad at myself for allowing myself to like her.
I'm okay if there's some timeline adjustment to get Darth Maul back into the movies. I was really, this was a part that was spoiled for me ahead of time, so I did know at some point Darth Maul was showing up, but I was still glad they made the decision. I just overall think how this movie handled when to do the fan servicey moments like this, I think was handled really well compared to the other Star Wars story of Rogue One, where we had Darth Vader, who was an American Ninja Warrior for 15 seconds and then 30 minutes later could not like walk up the stairs. So it worked better in this movie, seeing Darth Maul come back. And I am all for, I hope he shows up in the Lando series. That Lando series will be my most anticipated. Like,
so we don't know, Jack, you know what about that Lando series. We know Donald Glover is involved in some capacity and that's it. We don't know. It could be animated. It could be live action. We don't know what's going on with it. We just know it's been announced.
I'm looking forward to hearing that because I've tried watching Mandalorian. I like it enough, but like it kind of just feels like,
you're breaking my heart.
For me. So maybe after watching all these, I'll go back and revisit Mandalorian and have different connection to it. But Darth Maul, two thumbs up from me. Emilia Clarke, she was either going to die or triple stab like Han in the back. There was no like, mutual healthy, like we'll never see each other again, but like we've really helped each other. Like there had to be a tragedy. I anticipated with it being a bunch of kind of heist thieves that it was most likely going to be some deception. So
yeah,
I was more ready for this. And I think it's a testament to the movie, the direction, the writing, that you were able to kind of forget that in the middle because of the chemistry with the two of them and kind of fall in love with them as an idea. And then it's like you felt betrayed by the end. So I think that was a cool journey to go on with the character. It was beautiful to see that double lightsaber, though. I would have been clapping in the theater.
I remember the audible gasps in the theater when that happened. I turned to Jake and I, because I remember going, is that Darth Maul's voice? And we both kind of just looked at each other. And then when he does the hood, we went, it was, people lost their mind. Mm-hmm. All the air had been sucked out of the room. It was incredible.
It was awesome. That was great.
Yeah, it was just, and how it worked with the story. Yeah, two thumbs up.
I'm kind of bummed Beckett died. I would have appreciated if he would have made it into a Solo 2. Obviously, he would have died eventually or have just gone off to do his own thing. I do appreciate that the Han shot first still is holding true.
Another
good callback.
If anybody ever visits Philadelphia that is listening, if you go to Evil Genius Brewing in Fishtown, they do have a beer called Han Shot First, and it is delicious. 10 out of 10 recommends. Just plug that as well. They're not a sponsor or anything, but I just enjoy their
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. And then we see Kira float away, which I guess Han gets the message of like, this bitch is not going to date you anymore. And I just thought the ending warmed my heart to see Han take his seat, to see Chewbacca take his seat, and they just fly off into hyperspace. And I was like, but it's those like moments where it's like, I knew that that's how they flew. And it's like, you're getting to see it for the very first time. And it's like one of those things.
Look at each other.
Right.
Just push at the same time.
Well, like in life, sometimes we don't always soak in like the monumental first time something happens. And it's a big deal to soak it in, to be like, you know, we're this dynamic duo for years and years and years. And this is the first adventure we get to go on together.
It reminds me a lot of when you and I started podcasting together, Christina. It felt like we went into hyper speed with our podcasting on the first podcast of Funny Girl, our 1960s episode of Digesting Cinema. I felt like we both took our hands onto the, you know, hyper speed drive thing.
You make everything so uncomfortable.
And we just went into full speed together. And we knew it was going to be special. Little did we know we'd get to this point of Solo. A Star Wars story.
So there is
over it, gushing over a Solo story.
My heart is so full. There's two things though. One, we learned he finally did win the card game. He caught.
I'm sorry. That is correct. That is important. That we do see them actually get the Millennium Falcon.
Pulled a fast one on Lando, and then the thing that kills me the most. And I don't know if you caught it. Did you catch when Beckett, and then he says later, there's a big time gangster on Tatooine that has a big thing. And we're like, yes.
Yeah.
So that's
I love him.
So in A New Hope, that's when he first appears. He's like, you owe me my money from the job. That's the job. Yes. And so everyone's like, give us that. Like, that's what we need. Like, how are you not making another one? Like,
there's so much story to tell before New Hope here. So that if they're able to tell a story 30 minutes before New Hope about getting blueprints and a floppy disk to Princess Leia, there's plenty more to tell about like the gangster ongoings of Solo after breaking his damn heart, Kira.
There's still stakes because we don't really know what happens. Like Rogue One, we knew what was going to happen. We knew Leia was going to get those plans. It was just a matter of actually seeing it out. You knew everybody that was involved was going to die or go off in exile. But with this one, there's still so much of Han's story that we don't really know. We filled in how to get the Falcon. I guess you can fill in how he works with Jabba, but we don't really know.
We know he
lives. That's it.
Yeah, actually. We know he lives and that he failed the job. That's it. We don't know why. We don't know what he did. We don't know who showed up. Nothing. And it's just like so untapped and just so ready for people. That's why there's so many people fighting for this franchise to either continue in a TV or movie, which at this point, I'd rather have a TV show because they could flush out so much more of this story. Right.
And the other part is there's so many opportunities for different characters to come in and have forgotten deaths where it's like, why wouldn't this be told through the galaxy? Because it's some underground piece of crap who stole shit. Like these aren't the legends that carry through the galaxy. It's like, that's why these are invisible deaths where you can create the stakes, as Christina said. Yes. Stakes in a prequel are possible. It just requires like a little like more character development, which this movie again had so much more than Rogue One, particularly if we're comparing the Star Wars stories here. And so I really hope we see more of this story. I'm going to be talking about this forever. Like I'm going to be like, people, like give Solo a chance without reading 4 articles beforehand. Give Solo a chance, watch it. I mean, and it's just like, it's the most, again, I know I said this, but it's the most universal Star Wars story. My mom could watch this and get into the story with Kira and be like, oh my God, like how could you? And she'd be like, oh, that's a cool guy at the end. She wouldn't know who Darth
Maul is. It's a heist movie. At the end of the day, it's literally just a heist movie set in Star Wars universe. That's it.
Which is a perfect Star Wars story. That is a Star Wars story.
So true.
All right,
ready
for closing thoughts and ratings?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, yeah, Brian, you're last.
Yeah, we can all go last.
All right, Aaron, you're going to start us off.
No problem. I, needless to say, loved this movie. The performances, the cinematography to me was awesome. I just thought the mood it had, I hope, is a similar mood that Dune has coming out at the end of the year. Like, it's just that gritty, like, sci-fi space desert. Like, I love that there were trains in this movie. Like, I like that it was just like a little bit. It just worked. The romance, Darth Maul, like, come on. Seriously up there with my favorite Star Wars experience. And it's the first one I haven't seen of this series. And I love being surprised. I love having no expectations going into a movie and then loving it. So for those reasons, like, it's not perfect. I can't give it the 5 that I gave Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi is still my number one, but this is getting close to those top few movies. 4.5 out of 5 stars for me. I had a blast. I can't wait to rewatch this. The fact that Christina beat me to a rewatch, that's the first time in the history of any movie Christina's rewatched it before me when we've seen it at the same point in time. So challenge accepted, Christina, but 4.5 out of 5, total blast.
Okay, I will go next. I also really, really loved this movie. I think it was perfectly cast, minus my issue with Paul Bettany, but he still did a great job. I think everybody brought life into characters that we didn't know and life into characters that we already knew. I think that Alden made Han his own. I didn't think it was corny. And honestly, I almost forgot that somebody else played Han by the end of it. It was so much his character. I like what he did with it. I really did enjoy the romance, even though I knew I was right about her. And I have instincts. I have good instincts about people, and I should trust them more.
I do.
And I just think it gave you parts of the story that we didn't even know we wanted. And it did fill us in with stuff that we did know we wanted. This was just a fun movie. It was a I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is the only one I have watched twice. I cannot wait. Like, I'm so sad for this viewer, and I cannot wait to rewatch all of them again. I'm debating what order I want to do it this time, but I'm also going to give this 4.5 stars. This was a fun movie. This was a great movie, and I'm so happy I watched it. All right, Brian, you're up.
I'm very, very big simpleton in my movie taste. And so I would say in my top 10, it's probably 90 of movies of all time. It's probably consistent of pretty much just Star Wars and Marvel. So, I mean, this is my third favorite Star Wars movie of all the Star Wars movies, all of them. So, I mean, for me, this is a 5 for me. Like, this movie to me, it's like perfect. Like, I have zero complaints about this movie. When I look back on it, A New Hope, Empire, and this movie are to me perfect Star Wars movies. Those are my three that I could watch anytime. If it's on TV, I'm going to immediately stop flipping the channel, and that's what I'm going to do. And if that's a movie that's going to do that to me, it's a 5. So
that's that's totally justified. What does that get us? Like a
4.8?
4.7. That's one of our highest rated movies on this entire podcast, cinema or Force related. Yep. Solo, A Star Wars Story.
That's so good.
And that is, if you told me that 8 weeks ago, I would not believe that at all. This whole journey has been more than worth it. But this particular episode, I think, really shows the power of watching movies yourself and making your own judgments on them. You know, and for me, that's what I took out of this movie. And that's hugely important to me. And I realized that maybe with certain franchises or certain types of movies, maybe I do that a little too much. And I should maybe try to adjust that as I go.
Ooh, so maybe we will get a digesting the MCU in the future. We'll see.
Or digesting Potter. Maybe digesting Hogwarts. Who knows? I am the most staunch non-advocate of Harry Potter that's ever existed. I refuse to watch a moment of those movies. And after this, maybe I change my ways. Who knows? But either way, this was such... I always like when the conversation replicates the movie. The movie was a total blast and a great time, and as was this conversation. It was... This, Brian, I mean, to have the number one supporter of this podcast come on, to the person who we bring up every single time we record, because you really do inspire us to push for bigger and better things. So thank you for coming on and more than delivering. I mean, I'm sorry, Zach, but you might have competition for like a festive episode, because this feels like an Ewok party with whatever they were cooking over that fire. Like, I just, this is great. Thank you so much for being
here. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you want to plug, though, before we get out of here?
I mean, just A Certain Point of View is where you can find us for Schmodown stuff. And then Jake and I do Pocflix movies for our little movie talking stuff. But other than that, I appreciate you having me, and I'm so happy you guys like Solo. Like, this is the most, the thing that I was stressed about for the last 10 weeks the most.
I really get it.
For the love of God, please like this movie. And then my heart sunk when I heard Rogue One. I was like, oh no, it's the first spinoff, and I have the second spinoff, and they're going to hate it. And I couldn't be more happy.
It was so fun. But unfortunately, we have a little bit of bad news, because life is starting up again, and Aaron and I will both be on a vacation that actually spans a pretty weird overlap. There will not be a new episode next week, but that means that everybody will have an opportunity to catch up on everything.
Perfect.
Before we do the final episode with Rise of Skywalker. So
don't listen to anyone. Go into it on your own.
I have it this whole time. These have been fully my own opinions. So just for our listeners to know that you will not have a brand new episode next week, but we will be back the following week once Aaron and I are both back from our respective vacations.
I'm not saying you should tease who your guest is going to be.
We're not going to have one guest. We're going to have two.
Oh, excuse me. I mean, you might want to tease that. And
they're married. And they...
I don't want to over-explain Star Wars here.
Yeah, I don't want to over... That's fair. But, you know, it'll be good. We have a pretty good grand finale lined up. Just saying. But thank you.
My favorite Tyga song is Molly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Brian, thank you for being on. For Aaron, for Brian, and myself, everyone have a great day, and may the Force be with you. Bye.